Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesday, you're listening to the Art of Seduction. This is a Late Night Poets production, and Late Night Poets is a group on allpoetry.com, and we have anthologies available on amazon.com with poetry from around the world, so feel free to check those out and help support these shows. That said, tonight's show is based on a contest that Louis Wildove and myself ran, and it was based on a quote by Mark Razon, and it says, "Touch me with words where your hand can't reach." And that's the quote by Mark Razon. Also, we'll be having some poetry from the last Art of Sensuality show with Pam Ray. And it was based on a prompt saying, "I'll love you every step of the way." And then she had a bunch of picture prompts as well. So excellent night of poetry tonight, and I'm looking forward to it. All right, so that said, I'm going to check the studio real quick, and it's just an old me. Okay, so I'm going to grab the first poem. And these first ones are from Pam's show. And this is called First Kiss by Cedar Chapman. Your eyes lure me closer as sweet lavender essence waves its wistful fingers, enticing me to explore every pore on your silky white skin. Our bodies repelled only by a thin layer of short, heavy breaths, while our limbs twist like lustful vines, becoming more entangled with each ticking second. I lick your sweet honeydew lips as blood engorges my thigh, and tiny hairs stiffen and erect. You tighten your enchanted leash and run your fingers through my hair, stroking my back. I long to ascend these torturous steps, to toss away a millennia of repressive chivalry, my armor, and violate gentlemanly covenant, to lift your lucent ivory skirt, so to wrap you up in sweat and satin sheets. My beast howls at the blue moon. My sins salivate for more. A single touch, a deep lingering kiss. I fall into an abyss of siren spells. You grab my palm with your delicate hand and walk me up the stairs. End poem. And this was beautiful. It had amazing imagery and metaphors. And it definitely felt, you know, slow and enchanting. A fabulous write by Cedar Chapman. Great job. All right, so I'm going to grab the next link here. And I will post that to the board. One second here. Okay, I'm posting this to the group. And this is called A Full-Bodied Red by Mandy42. A Full-Bodied Red. Do you remember the first night in Tuscany? We wined and dined in that country chateau. It was a fairy castle in olive groves. Wrought iron and lace cloth kept our fingers from winding each other like primitival vines. There were pink floribundas and overhead star systems, silverware reflecting the buttons of your long sleeve white. Your artist's fingers traced green stems, and still the roses steal me like your panna cotta kiss did on the stairs. I sipped the chilled flute and detracted my tongue, slipping over pillow lips, licking purple sugar from dessert. My red heels slip up the muscles of your calves so hard under the table and over creases of pressed black linen. Little imps dance in the dark corners of your eyes, nibbling my neck, testing the cream around my golden heart locket. I asked if you'd seen First Rain in Paradise. Did you like deep tissue touch? What about Carpinito with blackberry licorice? You undid the buttons at your throat and told me I was the only wine you'd be drunk on all summer. End poem. And I liked it. I mean, it was richly layered and intriguing, you know, pulling me through the passionate embrace of this couple. And I really liked it. You undid the buttons at your throat and told me I was the only wine you'd be drunk on all summer. So excellent, right, Amanda? Beautiful metaphors and very intoxicating, right? Very steamy. Right. So great job, Mandy42. And I will put the next poem and paste that into a group. And this is called Love on the Stairs by Candace Kincaid. Love thy stairs. Stairs beneath our feet. Passion, small rations. Each time our lips meet. Candlelight sets the mood as we both lose. You lose silk and lace where it seems unfair. In my defense, I lose free will and self-control. Rose petals was my attempt to take your air in the same manner, heading up the stairs, up the steps, deep as your beauty steals my breath. I want to catch you in this chase we play. Then again, just outside my fingers' reach, makes me hate day as it brings an end to night. I'm okay as stairs step the promise of one more night following day. Behind, I inch closer. You giggle louder. Up on the stairs, it's safe to say, I'll love you every step of the way. And that was beautiful. I mean, you know, it was enchanting, intriguing. It really had the emotions of connection in there. And I really liked the way he closed it. With up on the stairs, it's safe to say, I'll love you every step of the way. A great job, Candace. And a fantastic write. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem. I'm going to place this on the board. And this is called Only Two Will Breathe by Ed Hunter. Been deleted, unfortunately. Okay, grab the next poem. And this is called Gyromancy Genics by Luke Jr. Gyromancy Genics Gymnastics. 3 o'clock. Standing on three study books that must be returned tonight. I'm left with your imprint, unable to let go of your hand. I hold it tight. No knowledge is in these books will ever hold enough words to describe you. Everything I once knew, you changed it for the better. I'm you. 3:15. 15 minutes pass by while there's a teardrop in the sky. Between us is the question of why. I stand here today. I should cry. You stand taller on the folded pages, the bookmarks giving you height. No wonder this feels different. You're at my level now, in sight. 3:30, another 15 minutes pass by while I'm ready to cry. I'm left with your lipstick stains on my collar, unable to let go of your hand. You're missing your deadline on returning the books. I'm hooked. Whether you noticed or not, I've written my name on your hand. 4 o'clock, too much time has passed by. There's never enough time. It flies like a butterfly that just missed our conversation. Do you think it carries its wings in secrecy or in brevity? Either way, I'm asking you this question while you stand on trees. Just 5 more minutes, that's all I need. Yes, it's time to return the books. I'm inspired to read. And with your lips firmly grasped onto mine, I feel tightness. The two hands point opposite each other. I've not just lost you. I've just lost time. I ran out of time. I returned. No words. No pages. Just a jumbled mess scrawled on a crumpled paper of faded haiku. Until the envelope folds. I'll see you later. Question mark. End poem. And I thought it was beautiful. I mean, you know, it speaks to having somebody come into your life and then having them leave that, and you're left wondering if you'll see them again. And I thought it was a beautiful poem on that subject. So excellent poem. excellent title. Great job. And got the next one here. And then we'll post that into the TV. All right, I'll check the studio real quick here. Oh, we have a caller. Hello, area code 43. Who's calling, please?
I thought you could use some company.
Sure can.
In there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for calling
You're
in.
You're going to get lost before voice. You get anywhere.
Yeah. Did you hear Luke's poem?
Yes. And it's on the sad time. Oh, on the sad, it's not a sad note, but the reference to time hits on that note of it's ever on the mind because of that last line, until the envelope folds, I'll see you later. There's a questioning note in it, but the question note offers up that sort of, it's not happening. It's something that sticks in the craw and takes you out of your game, so to speak, because he does mention that. Study books, and that's all that he's got left of her in the moment, and it's not a very happy moment, but the thought of her does bring some sense of warmth in the moment.
Yeah, beautiful comment. Thank you, Rex. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem, and when you see it, could you please... Okay. There we go. Okay, it should be there, huh?
Okay. Yep. Winding Stairway by Elaine Seven. Eyes carefully followed. Click-clack of her heels upon the sharp brink of each granite ridge, as her supple streamline shifts in ebb and flow, ascending a spiral towards an enigmatic top. He counts each steps she deliberately treads in her twist and turn with such delicate effort, holds disarrayed breaths, stays patiently poised in case of a narrow chance, where she pauses briefly at a turn of the winding rail. Her languid glimpse befalls her captivating long gaze. And poem.
Beautiful read, Rex. And I liked it. I mean, you know, you can picture all this as you read through it. And that's beautifully crafted there for the imagery. And as well as the emotion. I mean, you can feel his desire and his longing in his looks. And, you know, where she pauses briefly at a turn of the winding rail, her languid glimpse befalls his captivating long gaze. So just a beautiful poem with intriguing imagery as well. What did you think?
It's got an old-time feel to it, something out of a large mansion from a movie or maybe a large old mansion that you might come across, that curved and winding stairway. It offers up a poignant look that one can actually see and note each step as it goes up, waiting for that just one glimpse that you might catch her eye in the moment. And that's what that last stanza hits on, just looking for that one little glimpse, that one little chance that she might see you and note that you are following her stride up the concourse.
Yeah, great comment, Rex. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem. And this is called Helieco Stairway of Compressed Bones. Helieco Stairway of Compressed Bones. I love all the prompts. She stands in front, knowing my sweet tooth. The smiles, the shoes, the serious eyes, the straight couples. Of course, my favorite wears the black dress with red wings, feels like an inverted Eiffel Tower, look of tension, tentative, deflected. But I write for from my right, prompt 11, draw sparks from my shiny mouth, breathing cinders, ignite the unseen presence of you. Not this body, not this empty stolen earth of memories, as climbing starward, roses, past and future. What is now joined was always one, temporarily, cruelly, shaped as two. I went a little nuts that day, half the blood, half the brain. I calved off ice from frozen, paralyzed gravel sadness, sprinkles on a blackened glacier, birds steeped in formaldehyde. So cold, all movement stops without the sun, without the heat in your chest. That is what I remember in past life regression. Foolishly thinking I could search the Mariana's trench for you, broadcasting quantum waves the way a tree speaks photosynthesis. It wasn't exactly schizophrenia, more like a bifurcated soul, a marked channel in the Nile. When the floods came, we got separated, in name only. We felt every tooth of those rancid, crooked, ambush killers. Though distant, our faces melted, floating so close to the midnight sun's reflection. Fresh water mixed with deuterium burns down my face, tongue and lips, tasteless, numb, without smile, without the supple bolstering of your lip, drawing sound from the compressed serpent in my vertebra. Each bone, a winged crown, you wear as jewelry, set free. I dress you in the relics of sequestered, sleepy Roman towns. Spinal discs become our pillows. Great curved lion pulls us into inky paws, scratches rubbed with charcoal, raised welts like yeast, kneaded into the pleasure centers of multiple stars, finding equilibrium with the emanating sounds of throat-shaped gravity wells, intertwined necks as Caducci suck out toxic ferrous marrow, collecting in the core, pearl-handled triggers squeeze out, creation new light. Wow, that was a fascinating poem, full of strong imagery and amazing metaphors. It was beautifully dark and sensual as well, on the search for the light of love. And so just a beautiful poem. What are your thoughts, Rex?
It's quite the piece. I like this first two stanzas. The first one, just for its note of heels like an inverted Eiffel Tower, look of tension, tentative, deflected. That was a nice note, the stilettos and drawn off the up an inverted Eiffel Tower. Now, again, there's almost a touch to human in those first two stanzas. Then it gets deep into everything that rolls through this, and it has me thinking more of the gods, let's say an Isis and Osiris moment, so to speak, where they once were separated. I went a little nuts that day. I carved off ice from frozen, paralyzed gravel sadness, sprinkles on black and glacier icebergs, steeped in formaldehyde, so cold, all movement stops without the sun, without the heat in your chest. And there was more. I could search the Mariana's Trench for you. It wasn't exactly schizophrenia, more like a bifurcated soul, a marked channel in the Nile. Then the rancid croc ambush killers. There was such a ton on my spine, like compressed serpent. It gave me that, and especially because he hits on down here with the intertwined neck at Caduceus, suck out toxic ferrous marrow, collecting in the core. Pearl hand triggers, squeeze out creation's new life. It's got that feeling of, especially with the Nile reference to Egypt, Mariana's Trench, and everything else. But this is definitely on a godlike level. The Isis and Osiris itself, how they were separated and then came back together again. interesting and intriguing piece.
Absolutely. Great comment, Rex. And I'd like to welcome Captain B2, a.k.a. Bobby, to the show. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, good evening.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey. Hi, Rex.
How you doing?
Splendid. Thank you for asking. And you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine.
Nice to have you here,
Bobby. I'm sorry I missed this piece. It sounded, I caught the tail end of it. Sounds really intriguing. I'm going to have to go back and read it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're digging into it.
Yeah, it's got just looking at the last stanza, I mean, with terms like gravity wells, intertwined necks, toxic ferrous marrow. I definitely am going to have to go back and read this rascal.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I'm going to load up the next poem here. If you wouldn't mind reading that, Bobby, please.
Not at all. We have Touching Soul by Robert Pilecki. Touching Soul, want to embrace you and grasp your hand and hold you closer, close to ravenous heart. Close to see into esoteric soul, to touch you gently with the naked eyes, caress your mind with my timid words, let our heartbeats converse together. Fill my words all over your heart, beguile the tranquil and unruffled body, intone the silent song soul you can hear. Smother your heart with my tender musings, enchant and kindle serene mind on fire. Sedate, tormented soul at the same time, yearning to cleanse my mind with the silent flowers, sprinkle my shy thoughts onto your moist lips, tickle your eyes with a sunny smile, massage my lyrics into your sleek skin, love you because of the million things you've never known that you do right, craving to hold you tight in your heart forever, lather it up with the scented dreams, make it the dearest, the best hiding place, keep it safe, my surviving space, wish to be seen there with the graying hairs, being forever young in the heart. And it's one.
Beautiful read, Bobby. I loved it. I mean, you know, it's such, filled with such beautiful romance and deep emotions. And it was just picture perfect as far as a dedicated right poem such as this is. And a beautiful poem. What are your thoughts, Rex?
It's that note of age reminding one of that which they've gone through and that which it has always been offered, but wanting it noted that this has always been this way, even if I couldn't give those words at first. They sit here now, the offset note at the end, wishing to be seen there with the graying hairs, being forever young in the heart. That notation, hey, you know what, we have it. Past the age of sensuality or sexuality, but I do know now more than I did know then.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Rex. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Such a deep, soulful piece. This is not merely passionate on a physical level. This is passionate on a spiritual level. He's reaching out to the person in their soul, in their spirit, and they're supposed to see you into esoteric soul, to touch you gently with the naked eyes. This is a beautiful piece. I mean, I'm almost reminded of Browning, in that it is so ethereal. In the way it approaches love from a spiritual plane. So this is a really beautifully written piece, very elegant.
Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, so I've got the next poem up. This is by Poetic Picasso, a.k.a. Frank, and he has a sound club. So we'll play that.
The midnight rendezvous in Havana makes us sweat in the humidity. The beach is our exotic escape into the waves of our erotic passion. The restless sound of the ocean is the rumba of our nocturnal desires. We dance to the sensual beat and the rhythm of its slow seduction. My whispers are the winds of the island's lustful longing, serenading me with the sweet words of my Spanish voice, and your sensitive soul shivers within a profound rapture, begging to be engulfed in the romantic force of my typhoon. Your body is drenched in the wetness of a surging surf, and our tempting tongues speak the language of love. Be the lover that seduces me with the sexiness of your spell, as we dip into the rolling tide of our tantric kiss explored. We are the incarnation of the plunging phantoms of the ocean, released from their carnal flesh, like two ardent spirits revived, penetrating the crescendo of the tide, submerging us together, where our mystical moans resound throughout the night of Havana. Bésame, bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche la última vez. Bésame, bésame mucho. Kiss me all over, as if this night was the last time. Kiss me all over, my wild dove. Ole, ole.
Beautiful read and a fabulous write. I mean, you know, it's intoxicating how romantic it is. I mean, it's just so powerful in its romance and its seduction. We are the incarnation of the plunging phantoms of the ocean, released from their carnal flesh like two ardent revived, penetrating the crescendo of the tides, submerging us together, or a metaphysical mold resound throughout the night of Havana. And I mean, just a beautiful poem, fantastic imagery, and you can feel the heat in his right. And what did you think, Rex?
That first stanza kind of sets the scene eloquently. A midnight rendezvous in Havana makes us sweat in the humidity. The beach is our exotic space. Into the waves of our erotic passion, the restless sound of the ocean is the rumble of our nocturnal desires. He danced to the sensual beat of the rhythm of slow seduction. And he doesn't let us, that was just the scene set. From there, he winds up the tale with each successive stanza rolling into that finale, kiss me, kiss me all over, as if this is, night was the last time, kiss me all over, my wild dove. It's fully energized from the second stanza all the way down. And then you get that enervating moment to finish out as the coupling has reduced them both to nothing but a heavy breathing mass.
Great comment, Rex. Thank you. And Bobby, Were you able to stay in your seat for that one?
Yeah. I put a seatbelt on my seat now. I don't fall out much anymore. I'm listening to this. I'm listening to Fran. I'm thinking, not only am I listening to this and absorbing it, I'm thinking about his other work. And I have to say, Ed, every time I listen to Frank, I can count on being transported to someplace exotic, someplace romantic, someplace sensual, beautiful music, beautiful surroundings, passion, people living their lives and living their lives with zest and rapture. And passion, and my God, how can there be anything wrong with that?
Great comment, thank you. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, so I'm gonna grab the next poem here. And this is by Talia R. And it is called Bill Me, My Cup, and it goes like this. You, my dear, light up my world more than you will ever know. You have removed every barrier of the past that was before me. Your touch has weakened me. Every fabric of deception you have taken and replaced with magical touches and sweet, sexy words that give life to every dead situation. I'm now in a whole new world. Where life is freely given. I wake up to words of inspiration, motivation, and satisfaction. Your words speak life and give my life new meaning. Ravish me always with sexy words of encouragement and speak life into my soul. I feel joy when you speak to me in our language as we share at our table for two and poem. And that was beautiful. I mean, it was touching. It was loving, filled with romance and just a passion that she has for her partner. And I like that when you speak to me in our language as we share at our table for two. It's just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Rex?
The body in this is the finality of you have removed every barrier of the past that was before me. Your touch has weakened me. Every fabric of deception you have taken and replaced with magical touch and sweet, sexy words that give life to every dead situation. There is a note of finality in finally being free of that part of herself, which opens the latter end of this to a little bit more flavorful play and thought to what will come now, the idea I wake up to words of inspiration, motivation, satisfaction. Your words speak life and give my life new meaning. Ravish me always with sexy words of encouragement and speak life into my soul. I feel joy. And so it is that recognition in the first two, recognition in the first line and three quarters, and then those couple of lines of ridding oneself of what one once carried as baggage that kept her from being who she is, and now has awakened to something that is really special.
Absolutely, great comment, Rex. And Bobby, what did you think?
I agree with Rex. This is a testimonial to the loving support that someone has given the protagonist, the writer. Here's a writer who's a graduate of the School of Hard Knocks and has found someone to support them and believe in them. And sometimes that goes deeper than love, is to know that someone believes in you and what you're capable of and who you are, essentially. And your words speak life and give my life new meaning. Ravish me with your sexy words of encouragement and speak life into my soul. Sometimes that means more than love. That is a drink of water in the desert.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much, Bobby. Great comment. Okay, I posted the next poem, and I was hoping that you two could read it together with you having the opening stanza, Rex, and then alternating thereafter with Bobby.
Okay. Touch me with your words, a collaboration between Selena and Papa Mama Jama. You saunter past me in skin-tight short blue jeans, shading my view from the noonday summer sun, sliding an invitation in my mailbox with blue-green eyes. On my hammock, I tilt my sunglasses. I rise to my feet. You curl the corner of your mouth to a smile that fades at the sight of a rose.
Bobby?
Her hands skim across flesh, which tingles with short, sharp shocks of anticipated fusion. Your midnight eyes promise charms of celestial bliss. In cloistered corners of caressing candlelight colors, our bodies speak silently of long-awaited pleasures. Your fingers delve deep into my hair as our lips meet.
A kiss we've shared a thousand times in our minds, sweet as tree-ripened peaches, flavors dancing, my tongue sliding into the bits of your mouth. Torrid, I search and inhabit the wet passages. You are honey, peaches, and delicious apples.
Our ardor ignited, your whispers of intentions aroused, shamelessly suggested, tantalizing each nerve. My blood warms, heat intensifying, flooding my veins. You are every lover's sigh, every hungry touch, all the ardent vows ever made. End poem.
Beautiful read, you two. And I like that, you know, you can feel the chemistry. It's palpable. And the bonding that's happening between these two as they join in their kiss that they've shared a thousand times over in their minds. Sweet as ripened tree peaches, flavors dancing, my tongue sliding into the abyss of your mouth. Toward I search and inhabit the wet passages. You are honey, peaches, and delicious apples. It's fantastic imagery there. And you can feel the emotion emanating through this. Beautiful collab, Papa Mama Jamba and Stelina. Excellent job. Rex, what did you think?
Nice touch of difference between the two. Papa's is nicely delivered and deliberate. Stelina's offers up great tones of alliteration, short, sharp shocks, promised charms of celestial bliss, cloistered corners caressing candlelit colors. And then again, he hits out with, I like to throw it with, sweet as tree ripened peaches, flavors dancing. You are honey, peaches, and delicious apples. And then that last stanza with Selena, it hits on also a note of deliberate thought and intention. Our ardor ignited, your whispers intentions aroused, shamelessly suggested, tantalizing each nerve. My blood warms, flooding my veins. You are every lover's sigh, every hungry touch, all the ardent vows ever made. Great finish.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rex. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I enjoyed the read. I enjoyed sharing it. I agree. There's the style difference is interesting. It blends well. The alliteration is delicious. I really enjoyed it. The descriptions, the passion. I'm going to coin a new phrase, probably not new, but for me it's new. To describe this piece, I'm going to call it elegantly erotic.
Great combination of words. And beautiful comment, Bobby. Thank you. Thank you for the wonderful reads as well. Okay, Rex, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Aminus Amophilus by Luke J.R. Animus Amophilus, buried your hands to think that a lonely day on the beach became a moment of each, where we found ourselves reaching for the words we had once lost. time passes by while we're on this beach. I can't say goodbye. Trailing through the sandy shore rests our faded footprints. Written letters to you gather sand, washed ashore. Burying my hands under the dusty sand. Broken clockwork. I'm staggering to stand steady as the gentle breeze becomes a claw. While I'm left alone on this lonely beach, missing you forevermore. The carved artwork that you painted with a lonely stick, there's only so much I can reach for until I grasp this heavy brick to destroy the same castle that we once built together with the ghosts and the children that were passers-by, eye to eye. You reach your arms around my neck, my shoulders would quake. With the words you've written in the dry sand, I don't understand, yet you reach towards me with only words trailing like dying birds. Beautiful while wind, also windless, they still fly high up in the sky, where you would tell me that's the place where our children will die, yet they are already ghosts. I don't understand your words. Until that fateful night, I was alone, grasping into fright. While my breathlessness led me astray, I returned to the beach. I reached out to the broken letters. Day became night. While my breathlessness led me to stay, I held you the very next day. Because when I can't reach with only words, my voice carries messages like those once faithful windless birds.
That was a beautiful pen and an excellent read as well, Rex. I like it. I mean, you know, it's intriguing. It has amazing imagery. It pulls you through till the very end. And like those once faithless, faithful, wingless birds, ghost children of a thousand voices, a thousand words. Yeah, just a haunting ending to that beautiful write. Intriguing and enchanting. Beautifully done. What did you think, Bobby?
Always intrigued by Luke's titles. He gives a great deal of thought just to his titles, and there's great wordplay in there. So I encourage anyone who's reading his work, don't skim past the title, because there's a lot of meat even on his titles. But I'm reading through this and it's haunting. To think that a lonely day on the beach became a moment of each, where we found ourselves reaching for the words we had once lost. Time passes by while we're on this beach. I cannot say goodbye. Trailing through the sandy shores rests our faded footprints. Buried letters to you gather sands washed ashore. There's a melancholy that pervades this whole piece. I'm staggering to stand steady as the gentle breeze becomes a claw. What a wonderful phrase. I mean, such visual imagery. You can see that there's a lot of heartache in here. You're not quite sure of the origins of it, but you know that here's a person whose soul is in pain.
Absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Rex, what are your thoughts?
And Bobby hit on it. This is a couple's last moments together, and that which still lingers on the breath. Time passes by while we're off the beach. I can't say goodbye. Yes, that is exactly what's going on here. When I'm left alone on this lonely beach, missing you forevermore. And that also, there was a note, with the ghostly chill that will pass by eye to eye, you reach your arms around my neck, my shoulders would click. There's a terseness within that note. My shoulders would click. The thought of, hey, there's an understanding that of in that moment is the finality of the scene itself. And the thought with the where the children would die is the memories of what we once had together. It is now something that will never be. What else we got? Words written in dry sand, I don't understand. Yet you reach towards with only words trailing like dying birds. They've lost the voices they once had between each other. They no longer understand what each wants out of the relationship or each other. And again, still holds on and clings to that memory because, as Bobby said, it's painful. and it's the only thing he has, because he does hit on that note of taking a brick to smash those sand castles, those last vestiges of what once was them. He wants to destroy it just to get past the not just the melancholy, but the anger in here, as well as feelings of being left without understanding why.
Wow, very astute comment, Rex. Very astute. Okay, Bobby, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
We have Bet Deeper by Bettina Schummel. Interesting name. Deeper. We need to hear words of love that touch, words that make you want more, feeling the heat rise. Sometimes I daydream about what to say to set the mood. Touching is not always enough. In those moments, I want to hear. I want to say, kiss me. Touch me there. Say my name. What you want. Love it. When you kiss my neck, run your tongue down my back. Give me more. I love you. You're my love. Deeper expressions, our love takes over. Words of love that touch my core. Nothing more to say. Lost in those words. End of poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And I mean, you know, we all need to hear words of love that touch. Words that want you, that make you want more. Feeling the heat rise. And then, you know, we dream about it, you know, to feel those words and to hear them spoken to us is a powerful aphrodisiac. And I thought you captured that beautifully in this poem. But this is an excellent write. And what did you think, Rex?
That second stanza that hits on the notes of what this is really about. In those moments, I want to hear, I want to say, kiss me, touch me there, say my name, what do you want? Love it when you kiss my neck, run your tongue down my back, give me more. I love you, you're my love. There's almost a tentative note in that, an expression of, hey, you know, we need to walk outside of what we are, and there's almost a note to being afraid. That kind of hits on the idea, well, if you're that afraid in the moment, then maybe you're not where you should be. Because if you feel like this, then you should be uttering it no matter what. That's the expression. That's the deeper angle that's being expressed in that second stanza. The other two dress up the rest of it nicely. They mean everything what they say, but without that center stanza, the other two are just dressing, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Thank you, Rex. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I'm thinking how many times I've heard the exchange between two people where they said, one says, you never tell me you love me. And the other one says, well, you know how I feel. But you need that affirmation. Sometimes you need to hear the word. Oh, I got sabotaged. Excuse me.
Okay. Hello, Bobby. Oh, she must have had to drop.
I got sabotaged. That was it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully she'll be back.
That was my phone. I think it's possessed. anyway, no, you need to hear that affirmation. You need to, you know, I know you love me. You show me you love me. But sometimes I just need you to look me in the eye and tell me that. And even touching sometimes just isn't enough. You need to hear it. And I think that's what she's saying here. She wants to be lost in the words.
Absolutely, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and this is by This is called Nightly Waltz by the name is Evora. Here's my hand. It's yours to hold. I am trusting you forevermore. You will lead on our dance floor. Look how far we got. Past mistakes we forgot. All that is seen in your heart. The beat matches mine. You can't tell them apart. Dim the lights so I can rest my head on your chest. Dancing around slowly, you take care of the rest. Just like our heartbeat, our feet never miss a step. No mistakes, just imperfections, but not a single misconception. From the day we met to where we are now, I'm willing to let you take the lead. My happiness, you will feed. The nights I've spent dreaming about the day where I can't stop gleaming. Now, as we slowly spin, the joy I feel, where do I even begin? Slowly looking up at the corner, at the owner of my soul, no longer do I feel that hole to where my heart used to lie. You can't even be called a guy. A guy can't make your heart fly. That rare breed of male, the ones that take the test of love and not fail, even when they get hit with your hail, their strength would make them prevail. We might trip, but we won't fall, because this is our dance. Any other partner, I cannot recall. 1, 2, 3, our moves as smooth as the sea. 4, 5, 6, there isn't a step we missed. Flowing through the stars, no halts. I love our dance, our nightly waltz. And beautiful end poem, but it was a beautiful poem on the connection that two people share, and it contained such warmth. And I like the use of forevermore and before dance floor. It's a beautiful picture that it paints. So just an excellent poem by Evora. And Rex, what did you think?
I agree with you. There's a give and take in this, which optimizes their relationship. Look how far we got, thanks, we forgot. And just like our heartbeat, our feet never miss a step. No mistakes, just imperfections, but never a single misconception. Now, she also hits on the note of, I am willing to let you take the lead. And that note to strength that she puts in here as well. Even though she's going to be offers up that note that she does, she can be a little hellion. Even when they get hit with your hail, their strength would make them prevail. So she's offering up even her own fault in that moment. I think someone who can be a little hellish in the moment and maybe a bit quick-tongued, but it's the strength and trust she has in her man that sets them apart or sets them together. And she's happy with this and doesn't regret a single moment.
Absolutely. Great comment, Rex. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I like the parallel she draws between the relationship and dance. Because if you've ever been on the dance floor and seen an older couple who you know have been together for a while, there's a teamwork there. There's a unity. There's an unspoken a choreography that is just amazing to see. I love watching people who have been together a while. When they dance together, it's like they're sharing brain cells. It's amazing. And she speaks to that in the relationship that, Rex said, our feet never miss a step, no mistakes, just imperfections, but never a single misconception. There's an understanding, there's an implicit understanding and a teamwork there that is the beauty, that's the nucleus of a long-term relationship that's loving. When you've got that core where both people have the same understanding and share the same values, and it's like a rhythm that's why I see, when I see partners lose a long-term partner, they're adrift because their anchor is gone.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, Rex, if you could read for our next fantastic poet, that would be great.
Dining in fruited eve times, to taste such southern sober cane, juice and red flesh, done chin doth drip, inflamed heart and mind, a tongue doth slick, lipping, sipping, sucking, concentric slip. Oh, that blaze in wide-eyed drawer, saturant timpani's parking layers for more, fevered breath midst guttural moans, imbibed deep within, nectared groan, lust built, temperance blocked, and I am back laid in a treasured open lock, awash in magnolia's bouquet, and drunken, plump, brittlery, teasing my sachet, lush swigged entree, meats savory and moist, flavors play of flambe as eve tides, dusky notes, and mango tufts illume our cold cake, whilst I dine upon my guava. And boom.
Beautiful read, Rex. And such a talented write. I mean, your language is fantastic that you use. But I really liked especially Eve Tides, Dusky Notes, and Mango Fruits Illume Our Coal Cape. Well, I dine upon my guava. Great write. Fantastic read as well, Rex. And
thank
Bobby,
you,
what are your thoughts?
Like, I've always liked Rex's word combinations. They take unconventional things and you put them together, and they sound like they belong. There's a magnolia bouquet, drunken plump ribaldry, teased my sachet, lush swaggered entree, meat savory and moist, flagrant flares flambé. Great alliteration, by the way. It has a richness to it. It's like biting into a ripe peach or a piece of watermelon, and it just runs down your chin, and you expect it to, because that's half the fun.
Thank you, Bobby.
Great comment, Bobby. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Rex?
Well, and besides, it's all about illusion and illusion. Even though I've walked that into the thought of eating a guava, it does walk a very noted tone to something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Rex. Thank you. Okay, Bobby, would you mind reading for our next incredible poet?
Not at all. Who's up? Oh. You like doing that to me, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, this hack. God, I have to read this. Really? Do I? Okay. I'll preface this with saying that this was for one of Richard's contests. It was his contest for W.B. Yeats. And my inspiration for this was W.B. Yeats' piece, The Stolen Child. And I tried to mirror the style, the romantic style of the time and the language. So here goes. And here's the inspiration. For he comes the human child to the waters in the wild with a fairy hand in hand, for the world's more full of weeping than we can understand. That's from The Stolen Child by Butler, William Butler. He plays on the wood at the edge of the lake, under the eye of the fairies, neath their leafy cloak. They spy him from the verge of a verdant fern brake, a human child who plays alone near an ancient oak. The whispers so quiet, like a voice on the breeze, they murmur to him of moonlight enchanted, of magic, arms, Starlet dance trees within the rings of the mushrooms fairy planted. He follows fell voices to fairy ring's rim and glimpses smiling aspects mid tiny shadows. In the twilight, we hands gesture welcome to him. They beckon him to join them and follow. All this was in silence, for he heard not harp chord, though now drawing nearer, he saw fairies playing. Finally venturing in a circle, stepped inside toward the wee figures he saw dancing and swaying. All at once, ears were charmed with the strains of the most bewitching music he had ever heard, and he watched fairy folk whirling round to the refrains as by this other music they whispered. They promised he'd drink dew far sweeter than mead, and forever in their keeping he'd dwell. So he listened, danced, feeling light as a reed as he fell so deeply under their spell. Father and mother searched for their child so dear, far and wide they roamed calling his name. But their voices and cries he would no longer hear. They could not know he was no longer the same. He dwells now amid hollows and moss-covered stone. He is of the fairy folk now, of the waters and wild. The fairies have taken them into their own, and he's theirs, no more human. End poem.
Well, what a beautiful presentation. You know, your read is fantastic, but I really liked it. I mean, to me, you captured Yeats incredibly well, and I thought you did a haunting write on the subject of a child being taken by fairies and his willingness to go into this world unbeknownst to him. And so just a beautiful, beautiful pen and an excellent read, Bobby. And Rex, what are your thoughts?
You can take this a couple of ways. It reads like a Grimm's fairy tale of a lost kid, something you tell your children about because you wanted to make note of that which lies in a forest and what they should be afraid of. It also walks in that note of the child lost in his own world within that forest haunting because he is alone, and the idea of getting lost is just being lost. And then there's the other note of, I think, which kind of stands pretty strong, is this is the parent's worst nightmare, so to speak, the child out playing, because you hit on a number of things, the pond, the moss, the rocks, and all that, as well as the little things kids always get into. But it's kind of a note of, it could also run. The lost angle could be death, and this is the mourning end of it, or as this can walk the other way, too, of you looking at the at youth up front, and by the time you get down to the end, you walk from youth into teenage years and into adult years. So it's not the same. He's moved on from his childhood and into his own life. And yet the parents are a bit grief-stricken because they weren't ready to be empty nesters, so to speak.
Wow. You saw all that there, huh?
Yeah.
I'm cleverer than I thought I was.
Right. Would you like to say anything about your poem?
I did try and make Rex caught on a number of things that I didn't think anyone would. I did layer it. I took it straight from Yeats, but he talks about the stanza at the front is the last stanza in that poem where the fairies have basically talked the child into coming with them because the world is more full of weeping than he can understand. And in the, earlier in the poem, they tell the child, the world's more full of weeping than you can understand. So they've convinced the child that he would be better away from the world of men and living with the fairy folk and their enchantment. And it has that that quality of maybe someone is carried away in their imagination and live in their own world, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, we poets live in our own worlds. And it's the father and mother try and get the child back, but it's all for naught because the child has moved on to something different. So it you can look at it from the surface of the magical quality, just the fairies, or you can look at the deeper meaning of it, which is there in life. So it's there for however you want to interpret it. I wanted to leave it as an exercise for the reader.
Well, excellent crafting, Bobby. Beautifully done. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by Adrian 41062, and it's called I Entomb Your Heart with Words. I entomb your heart with words of compassion and hope. Emotions flow in places I can't feel. I'll build you up. I'll protect you. Your body, a temple for my praise. I feel the depth of beauty in your heart, those words in awe of your inner beauty. I am incensed and intoxicated by you, darling. I feel your presence in my spirit and our souls touched and entwined as one. End poem. And that was a very loving spiritual poem filled with beauty and ethereal love. I feel the depth of beauty in your heart, those words in awe of your inner beauty. You know, when you're trying to capture somebody's inner beauty with words, that isn't always possible. So I thought he did a fantastic job presenting this. And what did you think, Rex?
I got that second stanza, the second to last line. I feel your presence in my spirit. There's a note there of not just the spirit itself, but spirituality, faith. Now, that opening line, I entomb your heart with words of compassion and hope. Entomb, that offers up the note of sadness because of the word entomb. The thought there is helping to balance out which came before, some pain, some anxious notes. Because he offers up again, I'll build you up, I'll protect you. Your body a temple for my praise. Again, your body a temple for my praise. A note of to what once walked before. So there is a note to rebuilding that which was hurt or beat down or whatever happened in that moment. That's the initiation of that first dance. The second walks into the thought where the spirit, spirituality, and the faith walk hand in hand with the thought itself.
Absolutely. Great comment, Rex. And Bobby, what did you think?
I get the sense of a deep relationship, but also deep loss. I also keyed on the same word that Rex picked up. I entomb your soul with words. That's incarceration of compassion and hope. I don't know if that's what they intended, but that's the way I interpret it. I build you up, I'll protect you, your body a temple for my praise. But I still feel like there's some loss there, that perhaps there's death or the end of a relationship and someone's not quite, they're not emotionally equipped to move on yet. Because I feel your presence in my spirit, and our souls touch and entwined as one. There's still that tether, their connection, even though the other person's gone.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. Excellent comment. Great insights. Okay, Rex, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Sure. Words like fiery sparks dancing at midnight by forgotten dreams. He whispers lustrous prose into my smiling lips, sliding past teeth and tongue, coaching insides like thick syrup and hot fudge. creeping morning glory voice wraps around ribcage bones, fuchsia trumpets erupting in bloom, flooding dark spaces with radiating light. Portions of speech wash over my flushed body, touching tingling skin while slipping into empty nooks. A weighty fullness stirs in my stomach like piles of thick marbles. He smiles and the stack crashes, frenzied letters spilling from fingertips, sparks searing at shared points of contact. Together, we burn. And home.
Beautiful read, Barris. And it was a fabulous write. I mean, you know, it was full of evocative imagery. You could feel the emotions emanating through the write, and it was just powerfully received. It's a beautiful poem. What did you think, Bobby?
My mind came to a screech. What? No, creeping, I mean, that in itself is an evocative phrase. I mean, just the visual imagery, I mean, and it's heavily sensory. You say hot fudge and you get smell and taste and texture and sight. Just a wonderful choice of words as descriptors. But creeping morning glory voice, what a great phrase, wraps around ribcage bones, fuchsia trumpets erupting in bloom, flooding dark spaces with radiant light. I read that and I was thinking, my God, this person could have almost submitted this piece to the contest that I just closed earlier this week. It has that evocative picture of a person being in cohabitating with nature, with flowers, with the vegetation. Some of the phrases, though, a weighty fullness stirs my stomach like a pile of thick novels. Wow, I never would have thought. That is an interesting phrase. I never would have thought of it. And the way, where they take it from there, smiles and stacks crash, frenzied letters filling out from fingertips. This is a really, really, this is a really cerebral write. It requires a lot of concentration by the reader, and it requires the reader to just really participate in the reading and visualize what's going on, because there's a lot going on in this piece, very layered.
Absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Max, what are your thoughts?
Classic sensuality that speaks to all past the noted red-faced flush. So this is something that appeals to everyone in the moment without actually dipping into the frenzy of a full sexuality, but understanding that it sits right there in front of your eyes in a language that everyone can read without being afraid to say, yeah, I read it. I enjoyed it.
Right, exactly. Great comment, Rex. Thank you. Okay, Bobby, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, no, my girl, EJ Cool. Okay. He's offered us here. Afterglow by EJ Cool. Suede cascades down heated peach-toned waves and iridescent glades. Want listened, glistens in tousled nests of brunette-cloaked visions. Bared bones on desert thrones, slaked by deep-sea Neptunian moans. Risen and fallen empires, forbidden aerial crossfire. Lust-dappled wakes, hushed through gust-saddled, thrusted elliptical quakes. Hymnal praises, twixt limbo dazes, hastened limnal phrases. Recite rites by candlelight, hand in hand, on ruined sand dune night.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And I mean, this is powerfully metaphoric and deep. You know, you can see all this, and as you read it, buried bones on desert thrones, slaked by deep sea Neptunian moans. I mean, you know, the juxtaposition of those two things, the desert and the ocean, is a fantastic touch to this poem. And then I really like Risen and Fallen Empires, Forbidden Aerial Crossfire. It's a beautifully penned poem. An excellent read, Bobby. What did you think, Rex?
Another thought to classic sensuality, except this peaks with a little bit more depth of noted language. Suede cascade down heated peach tone waves and iridescent glaze. That's a nice picture of two bodies together. Once listens in tousle nets of brunette cloak visions. You can see that as a woman being on top and reaching down, air parting a vision in the moment. I like that. What you just read, that was a great line. Buried bones on desert thrones, slaked by deep sea Neptunian bones. That is a great, and it rolls off the tongue very well, too. Risen of fallen empires will get an aerial crossfire. Yeah, okay. And again, lust dappled wakes, hushed through gust, saddled, thrusted, elliptic quakes. Now, that's a deeper note to what's going on, and it doesn't offer up a notion of being a little silent. It offers up the motion of exactly what's going on in the moment. Then the hymnal praises, twitch nimble gazes, hasten the hymnal praises, offers up the afterglow moments in the finishing notes.
Absolutely. Great comment, Rex. Thank you. Bobby, what did you think?
Always enjoy EJ's work. He has a real command of the language and vocabulary. I've noticed on more than one occasion, as a matter of fact, guess what? I discovered her when she was a new writer. I was trying to fulfill my obligations of leaving comments for new members and new writers, and I happened upon one of her pieces, and I went, whoa, this is special. And so I went to her page, and she'd only had a few pieces posted, but all of them were just spectacular. And I started a correspondence with her and persuaded her to join our group. And I have not been disappointed in her work. She takes some word combinations that you wouldn't think would go together, kind of like you do, Rex. And they evoke a whole different class of imagery. Suede cascades down heated peach-toned waves. I mean, the visual imagery there with peach-toned waves and bare bones. That same line. And it's great alliteration. Bare bones on desert thrones. That's assonance. Bare bones on desert thrones. Slaked by deep sea Neptune moans. Yeah, that's assonance. Beautifully done too. It flows. A whole piece for a brevity. This is tremendous. This is just like this is like a shot of Louis Trey. I mean, you don't want to drink a lot of it all at once, but my God, when it goes down, you know you've had something.
Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is called Blossom by Metaphysical Migraine. My lips were parted as I started to dream of a rich red rose with a thorn. My soul was stolen, it would seem, by a flower in bloom before the dawn, giving my senses cause to croon, serenading a sweet scent in a garden under a spell of the sun and the moon. I passively pondered her pardon. She stood tall. All who gazed upon her swayed with the smell of a gentle breeze, dazzled and dazed with the honor of such manna-making memories. but her autumn petals fell to the ground, and she shivered in the wind and rain. Love was lost and nowhere to be found, though the reason for a season will come again. Thus I await the tender touch of spring to sate with the splendor of her sight, anticipating the beauty she will bring to a heart that harbors hope and delight of things in life like love and nature and the subtle songs of a marvelous muse that somehow simply captures with enrapture and inspires with wonder to enthuse. So it's with glee and gladness that I've met a dainty darling with a faint perfume, and though I fret, I'll never forget the luster of her bloom. End poem. And I really liked it. You know, it had a deep passion to it, a hopefulness and a love that, you know, might lessen in the seasons, but you know, it's always there deep within. And I thought he painted a beautiful picture of her in this garden. So just an excellent write with fantastic imagery and emotions. What did you think, Rex?
Wonderful. Rhythm, rhyme, and flow makes for an easy write that makes you go back and read it again just so you didn't miss something the first time around. I like the interspersed little tiny touches to the inline rhyming as well. And those first three stanzas hit on that note from a kind of a spring to autumn, because that fourth stanza hits on the note of autumn fell to the ground and she shivered in the wind and rain. Love was lost and nowhere to be found, so the reason for a season will come again. That hits on the note of as he rolled into winter, not that the petals fell to the ground, the thought of that attainment is lost because of the upcoming winter. And then he rolls into the next one with a tender touch of spring to shape with the splendor of her sight. So there's that notice again, rolling into the thought made of the thought of cherry blossoms coming each spring, and you wait for that beauty to behold. So there's a note to not just the love, but seeing, understanding, and appreciating that which who she is. And even if they don't get to meet or even date, there is an understanding that she will always be a part of something.
Great comment, Rex. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
This felt very classical to me. This is a love found, love lost. This is an event in the person's and the writer's life, and they've marked it with such a sweet love letter that they can't deliver, because I'll never forget the luster of her bloom. She's gone for whatever reason, end of relationship, bad death, whatever. But it has such a classical feel to it, almost like Browning or Dickinson.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, Rex, if you wouldn't mind reading the next one, that would be great.
Sure. Symphony by Aqua Heart. Your first gaze is an acrostic, a ballad of fantasies, a caption with intentions, with me, without dialogue. You gently set aside curly curtains of air, like a naive student clips pages of a new book. It's in my ears, you reserve all right. Our breaths, heartbeats, in a literate tandem, palms busy exploring, exciting, defying imagery. Analogies shy away, nothing compares, stands remotely close to our epic union. Those couplet kisses are anthologies on my tattoos. Like a slave, I crave for more. Oh, how I love cliche. You pace up at times as if on a deadline, in pleasure, panic, I'm panting, I'm wanting. Those silly subtle licks like limericks make me giggle amidst ecstatic tears. the pool of exhaustion post-climax of a thriller, we lie at the writer's block. Feels like a blank verse and poem.
Beautiful read and an excellent write as well. It's definitely very sensual, and it has an amazing ability to capture the reader and, you know, pull them into this being of love and devotion that she's painted here. And I really like those silly sudden licks like limericks make me giggle amid ecstatic tears. And the penultimate stanza is the pool of exhaustion, post-climax of a thriller. We lie at the writer's block. Feels like a blank verse. So, I mean, you know, comparing poetry to these things is just a wonderful, wonderful thing to see. And I thought you did it beautifully. So, excellent job, Aqua Heart. Great Rex. What are your thoughts, Bobby?
I really like the style of this piece. It is colloquial, which makes it very approachable. Your first gaze is an acrostic. Interesting. A ballad of fantasies, a caption with intentions without a dialogue. I mean, that's an interesting opening. It's got you wanting to know more of the story. And it goes on and in a very matter-of-fact way. I love some of the word combinations. Analogies shy away. Nothing compares, stands remotely close to our epic union. What a marvelous phrase. Those couplet kisses are anthologies on my tattoos. Like a slave, I crave for more. Oh, how I love cliche. Like I said, it's colloquial in its approach, but it is also very passionate. It is not aloof. It is a very matter of fact, very factual, very approachable piece of passion. The pool of exhaustion, post climax of a thriller, we lie in the writer's block, and it feels like a blank verse. And the comparison to poetry is inescapable and beautifully done.
Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Rex, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to go along with Bobby. It is that note to the written word itself. You hit on that sort of acrostic up top, a ballad of fantasy, a caption with intentions, with me, without a dialogue. Everything without the voicings. This is all in the written word, which keeps on going. Like a naive student flips the page of a new book. You reserve all rights, a literary tandem, defying imagery, analogies, anthologies on my tattoos, how I love cliche, deadline. Everything points at those notes to the written word. And the last two stanzas offer up a little bit of not just the thought of intimacy and sensuality in that, but it also walks with a touch of humor. Those silly sudden licks like limericks make me giggle amidst ecstatic tears. The pool of exhaustion post-climax of a thriller, we lie at the writer's block, feels like a blank verse. Play with the humor to finish out, because it really makes the piece stand out as something a little bit different along with the rest of the voice in it.
Beautiful comment, Rex. Insightful and thoughtful. Okay, Bobby, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Let's see what we have here. We have Metaphysical by Kenny W. Righty. Whisper to me what you are going to do. Bound and tied, tell me the truth. Stimulate my ears and brain. Do it for me once, then do it again. Blindfolded and out of reach, use your soft-spoken speech. Speak to me of love, not the physical kind, not of sweat and juices, the metaphysical mind. A metaphysical poet relates spoken treats, less lyrical with inventive conceits. This means so much more than our bodies entwined, temporary ecstasy versus an eternal bind. The beauty of your verse means so very much, united forever without touch.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And I really liked it. I mean, it's definitely rich and textured in its presentation. And, you know, it's layered in its beauty and its connection to the lover. And I really liked the final stanza. The beauty of your verse means so very much, united forever without touch. I mean, words are powerful things, and you know, you can pack a lot of emotion and connection in words when they're used with heart. So just a beautiful write by Kenny W. And Rex, what did you think?
This walks the same value of that last one. You look at up top, but whisper to me, what are you going to do? Bound and tied, tell me the truth. Bound and tied, blindfolded. You get those notes of bondage, but not bondage in the way that is meant as physicality. The bondage here is of the mind. The whisper is, let those words whisper to me so that I can see them within my mind, feel them caress my brain, stimulate my ears and brain. Do it once for me, then do it again. The soft-spoken power of speech. And again, not the physical, metaphysical, and means so much more than our bodies entwine, temporary ecstasy versus an eternal bind. Again, back to the bind. But the bind here, again, is not physicality. It's the bind of between the reader and the author, so to speak. Or in this case, it could be two people, but it's voiced on the thought of just the words themselves.
Absolutely. Great comment, Rex. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
I think it answers the prompt beautifully, because I think anyone who's been in a long distance relationship knows the challenge of communicating affection and desire and passion over the phone or over text or whatever medium without the touch. You know, you can do a lot with touch, but you have to get very creative. You have to have a good command of language to really communicate well without the luxury of being able to touch the person you love. And this speaks to it beautifully. Speak to me of love, not the physical kind, the metaphysical mind, less lyrical with inventive conceits. It means so much more than our bodies entwined. And it does. The words, when you haven't got the touch, the words are everything.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and this is SHD Poems, and it's called I Love Thee Not. I love thee not, but only when, in the morning time, when daisies sway and the blackbirds trill and do convey, the dusk turns to dawn, we strive again, like fragile boats that go astray, in wild and roaring boundless seas, bit by bit, all unknowingly, to sense thy touch, my nerves decay. I love thee not, but all noontide, when hopelessly sunshine I chase, and go all out, yet can't erase, my timeless angst that burns inside, from all ends and every place. Thy gentle odors slowly creep and seduce me to fall and sleep, remembering thy sweet embrace. I love thee not, but every night, when splintered hopes I blend anew, and pleasant thoughts, all raw and true, do strike my breast to paint and write. Through moon and stars with vivid hues, thy sweet face enhances the sky, and bit by bit, through lows and highs, I better, in my dreams, love you. End poem. I liked it. That was a fascinating, right? You know, it had such a lyrical quality to it that was, you know, it captures the tensions of love, of fears that, you know, one has of falling in love. And I thought it was just brilliantly presented. I love thee not, but every night when splintered hopes I blend anew, and pleasant thoughts all raw and true do strike my breast to paint and write. Through moon and stars with vivid hues, thy sweet face enhances the sky, and bit by bit through lows and highs, I better in my dreams love you. It's a beautiful poem. What did you think, Rex?
Precise and concise rhythm and flow. Also, the thought I love thee not kind of has me thinking of how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. But each stanza opens up, I love thee not, but only when, but all noontide, but every night. So the thought of I love thee not is a counterproductive thought to himself, because he's admitting the love all through the day in that first stanza, all through the noontime, and then all through the night itself. So he's trying to convince himself he's not, but offering up all of those notes to why he is in love to begin with.
Absolutely. Great comment, Rex. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
Rex's comment, it's like the poet is arguing with himself and trying to convince himself that there isn't affection there, but everything that he conjures up is to the contrary. And it is a very tightly written piece in tetrameter. It's got a great, very structured rhyming scheme. His refrain in the first line of each, I love thee not, but only when, reminds me of a piece I wrote that my title was I miss you, but only when I'm awake. And so it had the same feeling to me, that this, I don't love you except when I'm breathing. You know, it's that type of thing that there's this constant ache there that they're trying to deny, but they can't.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. Excellent comment. And so I've got the next write-up. This is called Your Fantasies by CRL. I adore you. I want to be every fantasy that excites your senses and turns you on. Kissing longer, holding tighter, you make me feel my heartbeat in my fingertips. You brought all of me to the surface. Our chemistry is working overtime, blending together, creating a potion of love and poem. And, there is a chemistry that can be found and felt in the air when two people are in love. Other people see it and feel it. I think they feel it before they see it, because the chemistry is hitting their senses. And, I mean, we all crave that feeling and passion of being in love. So, just an excellent write, CRL. And what did you think, Rex?
I'll walk the same lines as you, but also the deliberate thought to the outline. There is a noted strengthening, should we say, of the language as it rolls down through, as well as the epitome of what it represents. So, yo, come on, I'm ready to sit here, fulfill your fantasies. Come right on in.
Great comment, Rex. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Beautiful. It's very passionate. It's a very tight write, very tight brevity. But there's no ambiguity in it. I want to be every fantasy that excites your senses and turns you on. You make me feel my heartbeat in my fingertips. What a great line. You brought all of me to the surface. This is just a very economical, ripe, but very precision and very passionate. I did want to mention that our previous writer, I've just lost my page here. Thank you very much. Our previous writer, son of a gun. Okay, I'm now just
That's
making my... Yes, now I'm embarrassing myself. SHD Poems is a new writer. It's a new member. They've only got like 32 pieces out there. This is someone I hope we see more of.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Rex, would you like to comment on? Would you like to read the next one, please?
Sure. Looking for You by Jasmine Sejan. I've been alone for a long time, drawn by your look, silently wine. I wish you'd come to me, calling me, and in my dreams were only you, be. I would wait for your call on the phone, hoping that you would say, hello, is it me you're looking for? I want to lock myself in your eyes, never want to say goodbyes. My arms are open wide for you, hoping that you would do. Tell me these words I want to hear. I love you. Many sunrise and sunset went past us. We met each other on the bus. Butterflies float between our eyes. Rainbow streaks from you to my cries. I wish you to sit close to me, but you stay away to see your golden watch concealing your wrist that my mind is dragging each new list. The places we would go, roads to travel, journeys to cover, stories unravel. Am I the only one thinking like this? Or are you hoping not to miss? Holding my hand, bent on your knee, we would be far away under a tree, telling me the words I want to know. I love you. And poem.
Beautiful read, Rex. And I like it. You know, it had a youthful flair to it of falling in love for the first time. And all the specialness that happens in that whole happening. So I thought it was just a beautiful poem on the subject of falling in love with somebody and being alone for a long time, drawn to your look, silently whine, I wish you'd come to me, calling me. And in my dreams, were only you, he. I would wait for your call on the phone, hoping that you would say, hello, is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. Anyway, that was a beautiful poem. What did you think, Bobby?
I liked it. I thought it was a very touching write. It had a youthful a romanticism to it, which is it's always refreshing. Streak of innocence. Before people get too jaded about love. And it has many sunrises and sunsets went past us. We met each other on the bus. It does. It's a very charming piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. And Rex, what are your thoughts?
I know she got the hello down there with Lionel Richie, but it had me thinking of Hello, It's Me by Todd Rundgren. Hello, It's Me. I thought about it for a long, long time. Maybe I think too much, but something's wrong. There's something here. It doesn't last too long. Maybe I shouldn't think of you as mine. There's a kind of an almost sadness in the piece itself because she's hoping for something to come but isn't willing to actually open her mouth and say something first, as though that tentative first step is something that she dare not make lest she be disappointed in the outcome. But then again, you don't make the first attempt, and if the outcome doesn't happen anyway, then you've lost nothing by actually making that first thought.
Yeah, great comment, Rex. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by Weaver of Dreams, and she has a SoundCloud, so we'll play that.
My heart aches with my fervent need for you to hear my words from afar. My eyes see only your ethereal light, intense as a billion stars, my love, as you burn magnesium bright. You are an unreachable lighthouse beacon. I am dashed against your rocky shores. Your intense heat burns at first sight. I care not. Scorch me now, but don't leave. Let me cool in the depth of your night. Heed me. Over time, I will wear you down. You will want far more than my voice. I can talk of lips teasing, hands knowing, needs met that you don't know you have. Move closer to me. Feel passion flowing.
Beautiful read, and I really love the poem. I mean, you know, it's it speaks to this transcendental connection to this person through the ether, and you know, this is what I meant about talking through space to that one that you love. I mean, all you have to do is just think the thought and feel the feeling, and that person will know that thought and feeling that you have, is my belief anyway. And so, I mean, this speaks to love that's ethereal and beautiful throughout. So just a fascinating right weaver of dreams. And Rex, what are your thoughts?
Great opening stanza. Intense. You burn magnesium bright. That's a nice finish of that. That second stanza hits me with deliberate thought to the imagery. You are an unreachable lighthouse beacon. I am dashed against your rocky shores. Your intense heat burns at first sight. I care not. Scorch me now, but don't leave. Let me cool in the depth of your night. I like that deliberate note right there. And then also the deliberate nature of the ending stanza. Heed me. Over time, I will wear you down. You will want far more than my voice. I can talk of lips teasing, hands knowing, needs met that you don't know you have. Move close to me, feel passion flowing. Passion hits from the outset. That second stanza kind of is a noted thought of deliverance to not just the emotion, but the pounding note to heat building, rising. And that last stanza hints at even more delectable pleasures to be had.
Absolutely. Great comment, Rex. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I think Rex struck on the ideal word for this is intense. There's an intensity to it where some poems are intense in their yearning, how they want the beloved, they yearn for them. This one has a determination to it. You are an unreachable lighthouse. I care not, scorch me. And there is that final note, their determination to win this person over. I can talk of lips teasing, hands knowing, move closer to me, feel passion flowing. The open invitation to share the passion that the person feels. So I think it has a strength to it that I admire.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Rex, would you like to say anything about any upcoming shows that you have?
Let's see. Sunday we've got, Grand Funk Railroad off tap. And that's, of course, got Friday's Open Poetry, so I'll be there for that. Oh, God, I've also got Friday mornings. God, what are we doing Friday morning? I can't keep up with it these days. I believe we are doing, yes, we are doing, what is it? I can't remember. Break on through. Jeez. And I'm not quite sure what the break on through is.
Okay, great. Thank you, Rex. And Bobby, would you like to say anything about any upcoming shows that you have?
Sure. We've got, yes, Bocci, in a minute. Another country has heard from my little cat. We've got, Dan and I have our bi-monthly show coming up this Saturday, exploring a crisis, which seems really well. People seem to be enjoying the art, and we've been getting contributions of some really phenomenal writing. I mean, just insanely good stuff. This Saturday is going to be the reading of the entries for the Renaissance Realm of Olga Suvorova, who is a third-generation Russian artist. If you've not looked at any of the artwork, I would encourage it, because the visual imagery on this, her work is incredibly detailed, just color saturated, and just very rich work. And some of the pieces have approached the artwork in a very unexpected way. I'm constantly amazed by what the interpretation that folks have of the artwork that we put out there. And as a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to post a contest tonight. It is going to be as different from Olga as chalky is from cheese. The artist is named Alexander. Bear with me. Sviridov. Thank you. I didn't know how to pronounce that. My grandmother's name starts with four consonants. Alexander Sviridov, who did start in Russia, but now I believe he lives in the U.S. And he is another one of the digital photographic artists. But his approach to photography is to use a very classical theme to his artwork. I think I find it very surprising. I'm going to be posting that tonight, and hopefully people will enjoy it. So that'll be for the next few weeks. So please join us on Saturday at 10 for Exploring Ekphrasis. We have a good.
Awesome, Bobby. Thank you. And thank you, Rex and Bobby, for calling in to share your heart, your mind, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, poets. Have a great night.
Bye, gang.
Bye.